Today is March 7th, 2018. What is your name?
Melanie Hank.
And where do you live?
In Ashland, Kansas.
What is your occupation?
I own Expressions. It's a floral shop.
Okay, and how old are you?
I am 60 years old.
Okay. When did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire?
On that day, we heard it on the scanner. That Englewood was being evacuated.
Where were you?
We were both at home.
And I
had told Bill to go unlock the church, the Christian church, and we would let everybody know that it was available to come to there, and we would take care of them. And so he left the house to go unlock the church, and in the meantime, it came over there that we were being evacuated, so I called him back to the house, and we acted like crazy people, and, you know, grab this, grab that, and then we got in the car.
And where did you go?
We went as far as the state building out to the east of town. We sat there because I was oblivious. I didn't really think it was ever going to get in town. And then just, you know, all these cars kept going by. And so we decided to go ahead and go to protection. So we went to protection and sat at the quick stop.
On the highway?
Right there on the highway until it got pure black there. And then we thought, this is for real. And so then we continued to Coldwater.
So had protection been evacuated by the time you
when we got
to
there
go?
When we sat there for a few minutes, they evacuated them too. So
and when you got to Coldwater, where did you go?
At the gas pumps, we just sat in a circle with a whole bunch of us sat there. Matt and Janae Wilson and Chris and Jessica Wilkinson and Ryan Renshaw and Martha Williamson and Carla Filson and us. And Matt and Mike and Rita Freelove, we all just sit in a circle, just like that. And that's basically where we stayed.
Did you go eat?
No. We had snacks. We just ate snacks. We didn't go eat. We called to get a pizza, and they said it was going to be about a 2.5 hour wait. So we just had some snacky stuff. And
you didn't ever go up to the school?
We didn't go to the school. No, Bill, he had just gotten over that respiratory stuff, so
it's best to stay away.
We didn't want to be in a big crowd, so we just stayed in the car all night, talked to our son.
And you stay in Coldwater all night?
Yes.
You get pretty cold?
We froze to death because Martha didn't have anything. She had a sweatshirt, so I gave her my blanket. And Jess Wilkinson, she didn't have anything but a short-sleeve shirt, so I gave her my hoodie. And I found my coat in the car, so it did still get really, really cold.
So when you were sitting there, were you facing west and you could see the smoke coming in? Did it get darker or
no, you
better?
Really,
you couldn't see anything?
Really see anything. We just talked to Dusty half the night on and off because he made his way in from Liberal because Jenny was here. She had come to help her grandma that day and she got kind of trapped here. And he was, you know, of course the fire was out there by Jeff and Cheryl's and Jim and Joe's, and he was determined he was going to get here. And so him and Gus came the back way and snuck in town. So, and then he stayed in town. Because then Jess Bates and Ethan, all of that transpired out there on the highway with them in the wreck and everything. And Ethan was so scared because at their house he could see the fire. And so they went to Teresa and Terry's house, and Dusty just promised him he would stay up all night and watch for fire. And he did. He called them several times, you know, if something popped up. And him and Christy were like patrolling the town, and he'd call us in the middle of the night, you know, it was like 2 or 3 in the morning. We'd talk for a while and he'd go check something, and you know.
So what kind of things did he tell you he was seeing?
Just fire. Just a lot
all
of
around,
fire, all the way around, and you know, and I'd say go check, you know, go check down, because you know, Christy said if it ever got in the creek bed, we were in trouble, you know, and he kept a really close eye on that, because he knew they were all busy fighting fire. So between him and Christy, you know, we probably got 20 phone calls that night during the night, and just, you know, checking on us, which we were fine. And, you know, we were just checking on them. And
did you get any sleep?
No. No.
So when did you decide it was safe enough to return?
Well, as soon as the quick stop opened, I think they opened at 6. We all, Judge and Rita and Bill and I, headed for the coffee pot. And then as soon as that cafe opened, mm-hmm. we went there and ate breakfast. Uh-huh. And that's when they said we could go back home. So it was fairly early. And then we decided to head back home.
So what kind of things did you see on the way home?
A lot
or
of
not
burnt.
Sleep.
A lot of...
What shocked you the most?
I think when I got to Matt and Janae's house and it was completely gone. Because we were with them, you know, most of the evening till they went and... they had pulled their camper over there, and thank God they had that. And we went and sat with them for a while, you know, and I think seeing their cement slab, because that's what it was, basically, was, I think that really hit home right then. You know, you saw the landmarks that you ordinarily saw were gone, but when you, you know, spent the night with somebody and that's very, very close to you, they had nothing. I mean, they had what they had with them. And
were they still behind you?
Yeah, they had the camper still over there. I don't, you know, we parked somewhere and they pulled it into somebody's lot over there, and I can't remember.
It's Kenna Jackson's.
Kenna, yeah, that's who it was. And we left as soon as we could, because we had talked about, I had talked to Judge while we were eating breakfast about opening the church and stuff. And so we got home just as soon as we could get home. So, but then we didn't meet up with them till later that evening.
So this is Tuesday when you're getting back. And did you go find supplies to open the church, or what were your plans at the church?
Well, we didn't really have a plan, but we knew we knew that we had members of our church family, and like Carol and Dave, you know, Rhett's a member of the church. Carol attends church, you know, quite often, and just community in general. And I just felt like we needed to, and Judge and I talked about it. We're both on the board, and we just felt like we needed to take care of that. That was something we could do to kind of ease, give them a place to come, you know, and visit and know that each other are okay, and feed them, and, you know, just kind of take care of them.
So did you have a meal for supper?
We did. We had Sloppy Joe's that night.
And did you have a lot of other people besides church family come by?
Oh, yeah. There was...
Some firefighters?
We just put it out. Yeah, we had firefighters. We just opened the door. We didn't care who it was. It was full.
Did you run out of food?
No, we never run out of food. I've never run out of food in anything. I always cook way too much.
But. So do you know, have an idea of how many people you fed that night?
Oh, gosh. I'd say we fed 100 that night, I suppose. And then...
Did you have enough volunteers to help?
Oh, yeah. The kitchen was full. We just put it out, and they all came. I mean, it just... A lot of kids. I had a lot of kids come. Volunteer. Gus was here, and Andrew Endicott, and Jackie, and Luis, and I just had a lot of kids. I was very pleased with that. They all wanted to help, so.
So did you, the next day, did you make breakfast and three meals?
We did breakfast burritos. I think we did breakfast burritos that next morning. And then we did more evening meals. We did, if we needed to do sack lunches, we did some of those too. But we made, and I can't remember, I think that next day we made, gosh, I should have done this before a year. I can't remember if it was that morning or Friday. I can't remember. We made 650 burritos on Friday and distributed them on that Saturday. I remember that. But we did evening meals. We did spaghetti one night, and I can't remember what the next night. But it was, we were outgrowing the basement, the kitchen.
Needed more room.
We needed more room. But we made, I remember that Saturday, we divided up, and everybody went just different directions and took hot burritos out to all the ranchers and people that were working. There was still firefighters here, and took them up to the firehouse, and we made 650 burritos that morning.
So during the week, there were several of your church members that were ranchers that had lost everything, so they didn't really get a chance to come to town.
Right.
Might not have had electricity. Did someone in your church deliver meals out for lunch?
We did. We took meals more than once to different places that, you know.
So were they hot meals, or were they mainly sandwiches?
No, we didn't do the sandwich thing till we moved down to the camp. If they had something, they had something hot.
So give me some idea of what type of things did you make?
Oh, I think we did hamburgers. But mostly we did a hot meal at night. Just make sure they had a good, the breakfast, and we did, Diane, I can't remember what else we made. We did something else for breakfast. I think we had breakfast. Oh, we had biscuits and gravy, sausage gravy one morning, and we had breakfast casserole one morning, and then usually everybody was so busy at lunchtime, they either came to Nina's, or Nina was putting out a lot of to-go orders. I remember that, but we then we moved. I talked to Lori. I can't think of her name.
Oh, Kennedy.
Kennedy. And ask her about using the Hardesty house, because we were just, it was getting too big. It mm-hmm. was growing too much. She said, yes, definitely. So we moved our deal to the kitchen, the Hardesty house. And the kitchen just wasn't equipped anymore. And we did that for, I think, a week. And finally, we got to go get the camp cleaned up and get moved down there, because I know that kitchen. Rock knew that kitchen, and we knew we could put out the meals there. And we had been broke into in December out there, and they just ransacked the whole kitchen and the mess hall. So we all gathered up and went down and cleaned and got ready, and we started down there then and opened the camp up.
So is the camp now owned by the church here, or does it have its own board of directors?
We're a separate entity. It is Christian Church.
Affiliated?
We are owned by, I guess, us. I mean, we're two different entities.
So the church is its own, and the camp has its own. They have separate boards?
Yes, separate boards. And I'm on both boards.
Right. So, And so, like, 2 weeks after the fire is about when you started that down at the camp?
Yes.
And you also opened the dormitories up for people?
We opened up both bunk houses, and, it was cold. I remember that.
What kind of arrangements did you make for people? Did they have to bring their own bedding, or did you have bedding?
Yes, they brought their bedding. How that started was, it was Holly and Kim Hazen, and people were to call them, make the arrangement, tell us how many people, and they kept track of how many people were coming and how long they intended on staying and that kind of thing. What we did was make sure the bunkhouse was clean, the shower stalls, the bathroom facility and everything, and then we fed them.
So did you have separate crews to, like, make sure the bunkhouses were ready and the kitchen was ready? Or the same people doing?
It just depended on, you know, just...
What kind of help you had that day?
Who could get a loose to do whatever. I mean, Rock was... Hill was extremely important on the maintenance part of things. I mean, that's an old camp that's 74 years old. So, you know, the plumbing was taxed majorly, you know, and it was always something was backing up or, you know, or...
You haven't had those camps full for a while, right?
Yeah. Well, we have camp every year, but you don't have, you know...
Not back
to you
back
don't
back
have 200 back. People at a time staying there, you know, and...
So how long was the camp open?
We closed the camp on... I think the first week of June, we officially closed it for, because we had camp the end of June. Mm-hmm. I think we had a few people stay that first week of June, and then we shut down to get ready for camp. So
down there, if your bunkhouses got full, where did you put people?
We have what we call the cook shack. We could house several over there. And it's in the back of our shop. We also had the Red Cross cots that we put over in the chapel. There were quite a few cots over there. And one weekend we were full to the capacity. I mean, we couldn't have put anybody anywhere else. If maybe hang them on a nail. But
did you have any sleeping trailers?
They did bring in, there were two that they brought in, but one of them was a shower trailer, and one was for a individual group that came, brought their trailer. In fact, it's still setting up from the highway.
But the one that came was a shower trailer?
Uh-huh.
And it had what, stalls or something? Did
I,
you ever go
I
look?
Never went in there. I don't know. I just know that it was a shower plate. You know, they can take a shower.
And did it come in handy? I mean,
I honestly was in the kitchen.
Busy.
That wasn't my department. Mine was feed them. And
so
I can't really tell you that one. I don't know.
I just saw that. I knew they had that, but I didn't know how it worked.
Yeah.
So how did you figure out what kind of meal to make? Did you have a crew that was, did you plan the meals or did you have somebody help plan the meals or?
Basically, Rock and I got at the beginning. We would just fix stuff that was easy, you know, we could fix large quantities of and knew that it would hold and people would, you know, sit down and eat and didn't, you know, take them forever because most of them were exhausted by the time they got in. So, and then a lot of, at the beginning, our church did... that first week we paid for the food and stuff, and then people started donating for the meals. We had a card at the grocery store that people were able to put money on, and we could go to the store. We had so much food brought in and donated that it was unreal. It just was unbelievable.
Did you get a lot of desserts that were
donated? We had desserts. We had donuts from Wichita. We had Nest City 4-H group came down. Robin Swanger brought her 4-H kids, and I think they all brought two or three desserts. We had dessert everywhere, and they stayed. They did a meal on a Friday evening. They stayed and did the meal, and we took a break that night. But we had, I had a wedding or something. I had a wedding. And the Methodist girls came in and worked the weekend and gave us a break. And, you know, I literally shut the flower shop down. And there wasn't anything going on, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, people weren't... They weren't ordering flowers, so I felt like I was better needed doing something like that than sitting twiddling my thumbs. So I closed the door and put a sign up, and if somebody needed something, I'd go take care of it. But I just felt like I needed to be down there. So
did you have any trouble getting volunteers to help with the different meals?
No.
Did you have a good cleanup crew too? Or
very good. Yeah.
Were most of the people that helped with the meals local people, or did they come from surrounding towns?
I had some from protection. I had Carla a lot. Filson had Brenda Mills came over. Even though she about lost everything, she came over a couple times and helped. And a lot of Ashland people. Jenny came over a lot, came several times. Dusty. The biggest night we had, we served 225 people one night, mm-hmm. and I bribed him, and he smoked pork loin for us, and we served smoked pulled pork sandwiches and potato salad baked beans, and we served 225 people that night.
Is that the night you invited the firefighters, the local firemen?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. It's all a blur, but I think that is the same night, yes.
So most of these people that came and volunteered, did they have the essential utensils, gloves and stuff that they needed to actually go do some of the things that they were having to go out and do? Did they have, like, gloves or...
The volunteers mm-hmm. that came?
Yeah.
We had an abundance of things dropped off at the camp. Once they cleaned out the school and it went to the city, then they started dropping stuff off at the camp. And at one time it was just, we had stuff everywhere, and we moved it all to the chapel, and that was full. But we set it up at the front of the mess hall, the gloves and the, you know, the snacks and the first aid stuff they needed. And we had boxes of t-shirts and clothes and bedding, and you name it, it was there. I mean, you couldn't have wanted for much of anything. I mean, we had essential oils. It was unreal.
Were people pretty dirty by the time they came back
they were
for supper?
Black.
So did that clog up your plumbing too?
Or? Oh, not so much. Not so much that. It was just the constant use of the showers and stuff. We just, you know, they learned real quick to, you know, give it a little bit, let it catch up. And, you know, nobody complained. We hated it because we don't have heat and air. Or, you know, the air is water coolers in the bunkhouse.
Yes.
And at the time we didn't have heat and air in the mess hall, so it was cold. It was just flat cold. And Rock went and gathered every heater, every thing we could find to keep them warm. And I know there was a couple nights it got really cold. And, you know, we bought every ounce of kerosene there was in Clark County. Okay. And Comanche County, you know, trying to keep them warm. And it wasn't terrible. It wasn't the most comfortable situation for some nights, especially when it rained all that time it got so cold. Even the mess hall was cold. I just turned all the big ovens on and opened the doors and put a fan up on my counter and blew some of the warm out. And
it helped
a little bit, but they were all gracious. I mean, it was just, it was so humbling, very humbling.
So by the time you closed the camp, were most of the donations pretty much gone, or was there still quite a bit left?
We still had, we had a gentleman from, let me think, way up north. Starts with an R. It's a little bitty town. Can't think of the name of it. He has a barbecue place.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought, well, I went over to Bison and bought a new freezer. because he filled it with barbecue and tuna casseroles. And he brought ribs. He brought brisket. He pulled pork, tuna casseroles, because it was during Lent, rolls, and all kinds of fresh salad stuff. And it was unreal. And we still had a little bit of that left. Mm-hmm. There was some hamburger left. But as far as fresh stuff, we had pretty much gone through everything. And then there was a group that came, I can't remember when, maybe September or October, something like that, that went to Inglewood and worked. And so I gave it to Millie, and she used up the rest of it. So, but it's all gone now. It's all been used, but...
So who made meals after you closed the camp? Did somebody else start making them? Or did people bring their own cooks with them? I know the Amish brought their cooks.
They brought, we had camp, and then I think we opened it back up for a little bit. And then there was, some of them went to Inglewood and stayed over there and took their, that was that group that took their own cooks over there. Another thing. We had a couple more groups that came after camp, and they were just kind of on their own, because it was time for me to get back to work and everything. So we cooked for 2.5 months. So
the camp better off now after the... did you get some donations that helped?
We did some nice donations. We put heat and air in the, which we were going to do anyway. The sheriff's department had given us a nice donation to be able to do that. But we were able to do a few other upgrades. And we're getting ready to put new siding on the girls' bunkhouse. So, yes, it taxed it greatly, the plumbing and everything. But would we do it again in a heartbeat? We had to dig it out more than once, the sewer, and have it fixed and whatever. There was a leak here or a leak there, but we met so many nice people. It was just unbelievable.
So what's your most vivid memory of the fire?
Just the black. Just the black. I honestly, when we left here, I didn't, in my heart, I just knew it wasn't going to get in town. I just felt like it wasn't going to get into town. Mm-hmm. But that part did not scare me. I just, seeing the smoke and worrying about people, and then just... Everything was black. I mean, the stairs at the church were black. We have white tables, and they'd leave, and it was just black. And I think that stuck in my head more than anything.
Did you have a hard time getting the tables clean?
No.
Carpet?
They cleaned up really quick.
So you've lived in the western part of Kansas or Texas most of your life?
All my life. Yeah.
So, and you've seen grass fires before and how they act. How did this one act differently than what? Grass fires?
This one just had no intention of stopping. Most of the time you can get it under control in a few hours. This one was on a vengeance. It had no intention of stopping. I worried about all our guys. I worried about them greatly because I know some of them are getting up there like me, and I grew up with two of them, and I worried about them, and I worried about Bill, and I kept thinking about them, that I knew they were not taking care of themselves, and I think that worried me more than anything because I just know them. They won't stop. They just won't. They don't. And I was really concerned about all of them.
So did you have an emotional response to the fire?
I don't think I... The only time I cried was when I saw Charlie Gibson, and she looked at me, and I had big old tears, and she said, quit it.
Yeah.
She said, don't cry. We're okay. Uh-huh. And, you know, and when I saw their place gone, I cried then. But I made myself so busy, you know.
Did you think all of the people that helped down at the camp and like them that lost their house and stuff, do you think that was some kind of a counseling session that helped them cope with what and helped everybody cope with what happened?
You know, they would like say a farmer or rancher came in and their crew they had that day or that weekend or whatever, they'd come and they'd eat together and they'd just sit there and visit for, you know, because it got dark. They'd visit for a couple hours, you know, after mm-hmm. they got done eating and everything. And it was, you know, it was mostly, where were you when it started? What were you doing, you know, and everything. And, oh, I'd say we were a major counseling center down there. I think, you know, I saw people cry, you know, people that were mad. You know, why us? Well, you can't do that. You know, that's...
Yeah. Stages of grief?
Yeah, grief. Denial, you know, and... but I would say, yeah, we were a major counseling place. I you know, we had so many people come in that had experienced other, you know, tragedies. Like, you know, we had one lady that had been through a bad tornado. She lost everything, and... You know, she just, you know, she said, it'll get better. But, you know, it just watch them. It was, you know, because here these people were from, you know, back east. What do they know about Kansas? What do they know about farming or ranching or, you know, our everyday life? But I was shocked. I mean, you know, I had a gal from New York City and I went, and she came by herself, mm-hmm. and she flew into Wichita, rented a car, and drove out here. And I literally went, what, you know, what does she know? Well, her name was Betsy Hicks, and oh dear, I'd put her up against anybody working. She has her own ranch. Mm-hmm. She raises cattle, and she was not afraid to work. And she kicked in. She stayed a whole week. And her husband stayed back in New York. And since then, we've stayed in touch and visited. And, you know, we Facebook each other quite often. And
so did a lot of people, if they could, stay a long time?
We had several. We had some that stayed. We had one couple that stayed like 3 weeks.
They had their own mobile home or something?
Yeah, they had a motor home. They parked over in one of the places. Most of them stayed 3 or 4 days. My group from Ohio that we have since become very good friends, they stayed. They got here on a Wednesday night and they stayed till Sunday. And they came back. They came in March and then they came back in August or September and worked again, and they're coming back. So yeah. we visit. I hear from them all the time, and Sierra's coming back to help at camp.
Ooh,
so
that'll be good.
Yeah,
so these people usually stop down there because that's where the volunteers usually went to meet people that they were going to go help. And since you were there, you probably saw them in the morning or saw them when they first come in. And then when they came back at night, did they talk about what they'd seen?
Oh,
were they expecting what they saw?
No, a lot of them were shocked what they saw. They were in, you know, just shocked, that there was nothing, you know, the dead cattle, the no fences, the homes that had burnt, you know, they weren't expecting that, you know. They were there to build fence. Well, they didn't take in consideration there may have been 500 head of cattle in that pasture,
right,
or whatever. They were going to build that fence. There was a lot of emotions, but I usually didn't do mornings unless Rock couldn't be there, and he took the morning shift.
So when did you come in, like noon or afterwards?
Well, depending on what we were going to eat. Most of the time I was down there by 11 or so. If they needed a sack lunch or something, we'd get their sack lunches ready or and somebody'd pick them up. Or if we knew it the night before, they would be in the walk-in ready for them to go. And
did a lot of people bring their own lunch?
Oh, some did. Some brought food, but we just kind of put it out there. Kim and Holly, you know, that they told them, you know, that we would supply the breakfast and the evening meal, you know, if they wanted. But we had so much lunch meat and chips and stuff, you know, we could have made sandwiches from forever. So, yeah.
So, who were some of the people or agencies that proved most helpful?
Well, I'd say first and foremost our church. And
did you keep in contact with the board most of the time? Or
if they wanted me, they knew where I was.
Yeah, okay. You didn't have to clear anything through them first?
No, we talked. Actually, we didn't have a board meeting or anything. We just kind of called each other, you know. Judge Freelove, Mike Freelove was the president of the board, and we just got on the phone and said, do you all have a problem with this? And everybody's like, no, what do we need to do? So we really didn't. Most of them were there at some point, you know, rotated in and out. Yeah. Grocery store was huge in getting something or keeping supplies.
Did they bring you stuff?
No, we usually went and picked it up, but I mean, they would have if we'd have needed it. But
yeah,
they, you know, I'd ask Heather if, you know, we'd have something planned, and you know, she was really good about having it. You know, biscuits, ordering biscuits or whatever we needed. And
did you always have enough money on the card?
We had an abundance of money on that card. We just, you know, there at the end, they were eating pretty good because, you know, we were getting ready to shut down. We felt like it'd been donated, you needed to use it. I think she turned the rest of it over to the community foundation that wasn't used.
Mm-hmm.
But, we had... It was unreal. We had one gentleman that kept calling. He goes, have you used it? Are you needing money? No, we got plenty. Just wait. And he'd call in a week and do you need money? And no, we're good. You know, it just came in. You didn't have to ask. It was there.
Yep.
So, but Spots Lumber, oh Lord. Well, I don't know what we'd have done without them. Jeremy and Sue was huge too, but we'd ask and it was there. I mean, if they didn't have it, it was ordered in there 2 days later, you know, and kept the kerosene coming. And
is that kind of hard to come by?
Well, they had, you know, they don't keep abundance in stock, you know, and then, you know, let us borrow heaters and, you know, and...
Uh-huh.
Even out of their own house, you know, their garage or whatever. And we, you know, how we kept, you know, and then we had our electric bill was paid by another church. And it just, the graciousness was overwhelming. It truly was. You just, you know, because I was worried about what the electric bill was going to do, you know. With all the lights on, all the water, all, you know, and all the electric heaters running and everything. And then just, you know, I get the electric bill and it's zeroed out. And I thought, well, Christy messed that up. You know, I called her and she goes, no. She said it was paid. And I'm like, are you serious? And she goes, yes, I'm serious. I'm like, oh my God. That brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah. I would imagine. So, was there any physical or financial or emotional effect from the fire caused to you personally?
Oh, emotional. I think I've cried more since it was over, you know, teared up with like reading Facebook posts from yesterday, you know, mm-hmm. one little gal that lost their home. I mean, I've never seen her cry. I've never seen her shed a tear. But, which makes me just think, oh, you big baby, you know. And she goes, no, we're all alive. We're here. We didn't lose right. anyone, you know. And emotionally that, yeah. It's just, you know, you think back, did that really happen? Yeah, you can still see the effects of it. Financially, yes, I closed the shop, but that's what my heart told me to do. And, you know, you will reap benefits somewhere else, which I did, meeting all the wonderful people that I met. I wouldn't have met them had I not been down there. If I'd have been sitting on the south end of Main Street, I wouldn't have met these people that I had the pleasure of meeting that just, wow. It just made you stop and think, you know, there are good people. There are so many good people. And that outweighs the bad, you know, that our country goes through. If people could see what our truck after truck after truck that go by, they're full of hay and, you know, here Jeff shows up with the big old truckload of stuff, and you know, you're just like, I don't know where we're going to put this. I don't know where we're going to put
because
this.
They not only sent hay, they also sent food donations and other things.
And paper supplies and, you know, clothing, not brand new clothing, gloves, hats, you name it. We had it.
Did some of the volunteers come without proper clothing? I mean,
we had some that, you know, the gloves were a major thing. They may have had a pair of gloves, but they had a pair of cotton gloves. They didn't have good leather gloves to work with the wire.
Right.
The barbed wire. So, you know, we had thousands of pairs of gloves.
So did it get cold and they needed a different coat or something?
We had some coats. We had some long underwear. We had, you know, those heat and things you put in your gloves and stuff. Over boots. We had boxes of rubber boots and covers for their boots and stuff. And I stop and think about what all was out there. It's just unbelievable.
Did anybody take a record of what was donated?
Oh, there was not enough time for that. Debbie Trahern probably could tell you more than anybody what was out there. Because that was not my priority. Mine was
food,
yeah. You know, and how many cans of green beans do I need to open? You know, or whatever. So, but she kind of kept things cleaned up there, and Paige Hamilton. Mm-hmm. They went through and organized and different things, you know.
Because you had just about everything, like
shampoos, deodorant, toothpaste. We have thousands of toothbrushes out there. I mean, thousands. Thousands of them. You would open this box and there, it would just a stream with like that, you know, 50 toothbrushes hooked together.
Right.
Come out. And, you know, it's just, you couldn't have wanted for anything. There wasn't anything.
Anything you thought of that somebody got?
It was there, yeah. It was real. So it was unbelievable.
Can you perceive of anything positive that resulted from the fire?
I think it brought our community. I feel like our community was always close, mm-hmm. but I think this brought us closer as a community. I think there were some lifelong friendships made, especially with a rancher, and somebody went and worked for him for a week, and there was a bond. I saw that bond several times when it came time for them to go, you know. That's when the tears had come, you know, when they were loading up to leave, and they had spent a week working their tails off for somebody, and they had to tell them goodbye because they lived, you know, Minnesota or, you know, somewhere like that. And I've talked to a lot of people that have stayed in touch with those people. And I think the bond, you know, bringing the I think we touched every state, except for, I don't think we had anybody Alaska or Hawaii. We had Canada. And I think we did every other state. There was somebody, and I wish we would have done a map. And we didn't think about that till later.
Yeah.
But I think we had somebody from, we had California.
Didn't the 4-H kids have flags at the parade for most of the
states but that they had somebody? They didn't have them all. I mean, there was, gosh. I mean, you know, when you, the people back east, like you, the city people. And here they came, you know, where do you live? Oh, we live in this big old city. And you're like, but they came and they worked, you know, and,
probably did things they'd never done before.
Oh yeah. There were some that they, you know, were like, oh.
Were there any that helped you make meals?
Yeah, we had some that, I had a gal from, were they from Ohio, I believe. She brought a bunch of kids out, and they were 4-H kids, and I think she brought like 12, and then she would stay during the day. They'd all ship out wherever, which way they were going. They were tearing out fence, and she'd stay and help me, and we just laughed a lot and had it, you know, and I got to know her real well. There were several that, you know, like the husband went out and the wife stayed, they would come in and help.
So most of the youth that came, were they mostly 4-H, FFA, or church group?
There was some church groups too. There was FFA and a lot of 4-H groups, a lot of 4-H groups. But, and then there were some individual kids that.
And families?
There was two brothers that just loaded up and came out. They were like 16 and 18, and they spent like a week and a half here and just working. So it's amazing, you know, Ashland, Kansas on a map, nothing. But I feel like we have a big old boast around us, you know, a big old star around us now, because now people know where Ashland is. And but...
I think you're right.
I think it's changed everything. I mean, just not just the countryside, you know. And we used to be, you'd go be going down the dirt road and you'd say, well, turn at the old barn or, you know, something like that. Well, the old barn's gone. So what do you do now? You know, if you've all lived here all your life, like, who knows miles? I don't pay attention to that.
Or the road name.
Or the name. I wouldn't know a road name out here if it hit me on the side of the head. I have no clue. You go to the old Bear Club place and turn south, and, you know, that's how you got around out there. But all in all, it was just an experience.
So, like what you were talking about, what do you miss most of things that used to be here?
I think going out to Dave and Carol's house is no more, and Janae and Matt's house is no more. I think probably that, you know, my heart just aches for them, you know, that, and it's a good thing. I mean, Carol and Dave were in their house. It's beautiful, but it's, to me, it's just not their place. And Matt and Janae are actually turned over the dirt, and they're getting ready to, they're moving on their deal. So I think that, you know, just the places that you were just used to seeing on a daily basis, or, you know, you go to protection, you'd see this, this, and this, and it's not there anymore. You know, and we were, you know, Matt put the big cross up there, out there in the hill, and they called, and we went out, and that was an emotional thing, putting that cross up. You wouldn't think that, you know, a bunch of burned wire, but...
All the things that are part of that. It's
we
just
all
not...
went out there and, you know, spent the afternoon putting that thing up. And I think that was a lot of closure that day. You know, it was just, you know, and you see that every day. So that's a constant reminder of what we all went through and everything. I just thank God every day that we didn't lose anyone, because that was close. It was, you know, like keep the truck driver. You know, that's a sad deal, but, you know, the girls behind him could have easily been gone. Mm-hmm. And Jess and Ethan, I think about that and just makes me sick, you know. And thank God they were, Kay was right behind them to be able to get them. So yeah,
that worked well. So what have you done or can you do to prepare for a future fire or other major event?
Well, I made a list of things I need to grab.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we left, I grabbed our billfold, my purse, his billfold, our medication, a change of clothes, and I put some pictures in a sack. And I would probably go about things a little different, grab some paperwork that we would need. But I'm not going to live on point, you know, worrying about it. I just put it in God's hands. If that's what it's going to be, it's going to be. I don't care what you do. And
put stuff where you know it's at so yes, you can grab it quickly?
Yes, yes. And make sure you have gas in your car. That I didn't have to go get gas because we had gotten gas that day, that earlier in the day. Don't ask me why. Well, my buzzer came on, so I went and I got gas. But that was the biggest thing I heard was people were trying to get gas to get out of town, and
you know, pump wasn't working.
Yeah,
or the credit card would
ring. Line, and you know, when they say get out, they mean it. They don't. That wasn't playing. You know.
Were you surprised at how well people evacuated? I mean, the majority.
I really was, because I wasn't oblivious to it. I could see the smoke, but I just.
Were you in denial?
Possibly.
Like Linda?
I don't know if it was denial or just faith in God. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with faith in God. But I just didn't feel like it was going to get in town.
Mm-hmm.
And both going, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, let's just, you know, we'll inch our way out. So in case we do need to get out.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be at home, you yeah. know. And if they come by, the house is house to house. They're going to catch us at home and they tell you to get out. We went through that several years ago of our backyard caught on fire.
Oh, yes.
And we were both sick in there. And we had no clue our yard was on fire and the hedge next door, between us was on. We had no clue. And when they meant get out, they weren't kidding.
Yes.
to get out. So, yeah, I don't know whether all of the volunteer fire departments are like ours, but ours, we have the best. And I'm not just saying this. We have the best volunteer fire department there is. I would put them guys up against anybody. And they care. They care whether you have a home or you don't. Yeah. And they live and breathe it. And that's why we didn't lose I truly believe that's why we didn't lose more than we lost.
Yeah.
And because that's just how they are.
Yes. So what about the community? What can they do? Or what have we done to prepare for another event?
I think everybody's just, you know, they need to pay attention. Water your yard. Water your trees. You know, I don't have to tell my kids because they water. They live out in the country. And I'm like, you know, make sure you've got that sprinkler where you can hook it up and, you know, just keep your weeds cut down and, you know, that helps a lot. Mow, you know, but just be prepared. Just be prepared.
So when the fire whistle went off this week, were you?
Thank God I was in Pratt at a doctor's appointment on Monday and I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
Jenny and I went to Pratt, so we were up there, but we had massive phone calls, and I probably would have just done what I was doing. I mean, I just had it done, so I probably would have just been like,
"Yeah,
they'll come get me." But I knew everybody, and I'm sure that I knew everybody had gone over and over and over every detail, and each department had probably changed something, you know, to better, make it better. And when we got back to town, you know, they were all at the EMT building, and the firemen were down there, and, you know, you could see that they were ready to go.
Yeah.
So.
Turned out well.
It did.
Yes. Helps when you have somebody come and help.
Yeah, like a chopper.
Yes. So do you have any other thoughts about this experience that you'd like to share?
I just thank everybody that came throughout the whole United States. It was unbelievable. I just wish everyone could have experienced what I got to experience with the pickup loads of food coming, you know, and they back up to the back door, and it just kept coming in, and the people, the wonderful people that we all met.
Did you have any of the firefighters come to the church?
Yes, yeah.
Like the first couple of days, and then did they mainly stay at the school, or did they?
Yes, they were at the school then, yeah. We had several from Colorado and Cayman 8, and so we had a good group of people coming through, you know, and just I could not for the life of me figure out where Tom Berryman ate one of my sloppy joes, but he kept going, I sure could use a sloppy joe. And it was there. It was just sure he came and ate with Jerome that night, and I'm like, where did you eat that at? I'm like, fine, I figured it out, but it was just unbelievable, though. And I will go to my grave saying that, just unbelievable the amount of people, A, that showed up, and B, that were so generous, you know, just absolutely so. We wouldn't be where we are now had it not been for all of them.
So, anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay, thank you very much for sharing.
You betcha. You bet.